Well, he's been based down here for over a week now, Adam Pengelly, but he's kindly made his way out to Flemington nice and early to join us trackside here. It looks good. That was good news about the track, mate, too. We got afternoon showers predicted, Adam, this afternoon, but we're going to be on a good four. It should play fair.
I think it should be great. What did Liam say about those straight races, TK? I just missed that.
He said that last time the rail was in that true position, the Maccabi Diva Day, they tended to go from the middle to the outside a touch. And he expects probably the same thing today.
Okay,
they normally feel they're... We've got one race four, haven't we? Race three, sorry. They'll feel their way because the big ones, the Coolmore, at 225. So we've got four group ones, four grand finals in one day.
A bit of a lottery, those straight races, can't they, sometimes? I struggle to find a winner in them sometimes. But, yeah, I think the track should be fantastic. Just walking in this morning, it just feels special this morning, doesn't it, when you walk in the gates? The track looks meticulously prepared by Liam and his team. The bit of rain this afternoon will probably help. Just get a bit of juice in the track, help the horses. I think it should be a great day tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I best race day of the year as far as I'm concerned. And obviously with the derby. But before we get to the derby, Melbourne Cup, any news surrounding Melbourne Cup? Who's in, who's out? Anyone under an injury cloud?
Bit of a scare there yesterday, Laurie, with Red Vernon for Ed Dunlop. They're coming up, pulling up with a bruised heel. He didn't gallop at Werribee yesterday morning. He's going to be one of his last final series pieces of work there at Werribee. Damien Oliver was due to ride him. Obviously, Damien hurt himself at Bendigo.
Yep.
He had a bit of an ankle injury, so he didn't make his way out to Werribee, but the horse didn't gallop in any case. So Robin Trevor Jones, who's well known to Australian audiences, he comes down here and travels all of Ed Dunlop's horses for many, many years. Basically said he doesn't think it's too much of a concern. He thinks he'll probably be able to gallop the horse on Saturday. He still thinks he can take his spot in the race on Tuesday, but there's going to be an official vet exam a bit later this morning. We'll see what happens from that. So Racing Victoria vets will head out to Werribee. They've got to make a call on him, I'd say, at some stage this afternoon, don't they, really?
Yeah, because but you don't want anything going wrong in your prep, do you?
100%, Laurie.
Not even a minor setback.
Exactly. And we talk about something happening 4 or 5 days out from the race. Even if it's only a 24-hour setback, you just don't need them, do you?
Yeah.
The other horse who's had a bit of a setback, who's attracting a lot of support at the moment, is Cross Counter for Charlie Appleby.
He's second favourite, TK.
He missed a week's worth of work a couple of weeks ago. So that's not something you can get over straight away. Like, he's had a pretty decent setback leading into the Cup. I know there's a lot of people saying that, you know, he's doing well at Werribee.
He's only lightly raced, though, is he?
They're all doing well at Werribee.
Yeah, that's all. They all do well at Werribee.
Yeah, everyone's doing well at Werribee. But
like hitting the ball in the nets, mate.
Exactly. Yeah, once you get in the middle, it's a completely different story. I can tell you about that. But you're right, Laurie. He's only had 7 starts in his career. He was actually unraced at this time last year. He didn't even have his first race start at Melbourne Cup time last year. So for him to just be in a Melbourne Cup is a huge achievement, a testament to Charlie and the team.
It is a leg up, though, isn't it, when Karen jumps off Youngstar, who I thought was very, very good in the slowly run Caulfield Cup, best sectionals, 2 and 400 of the Caulfield Cup, and he jumps off Youngstar and onto Cross Counter. So
yeah, Karen's had a pretty long association with Charlie Appleby and the Godolphin team as well, TK. So
strong team.
That relationship goes back a long way when Karen used to ride over there in Europe full time. So, but obviously Karen's seen something in Cross Counter that he likes. He's obviously jumped off Youngstar. I think Cross Counter will be competitive next Tuesday. Yeah,
and just before we get to Derby Day, the whispers out of Werribee regarding Yucatan must be enormous, because it just continues to firm and firm and firm. And I keep thinking, well, we'll get a better price come the Paramutual on the first Tuesday in November, but the male's strong.
He can't start that short, can he, TK, at $4.50 or whatever he is at the moment? He's got to start a better price, you'd think.
Jump time
on Tuesday. You won't get him to say this publicly on the record at the moment, but I haven't seen Nick Williams and Aidan O'Brien's team that confident about a horse in a long time. You think about Lloyd over the years, you know, stacking his numbers in the Melbourne Cup with five and six runners. Well, this year he hasn't mucked around. He's just gone, I'm happy with two runners. I've got Yucatan, I've got the Cliffs of Moa, and he's taken out his other runners. So I think that gives you a little bit of a hint how confident Lloyd is about, you know,
what about Yucatan. Some of the other horses in that Yucatan race, though?
The Herbert Power.
Like,
yeah, I'm
none
not,
of them. I reckon it was as good them, as winners I've
I don't
ever
think,
seen.
Yeah, but I don't think too many of them are in the Melbourne Cup, are they?
We're going to get a very good guide tomorrow, Laurie, because the Prince of Arran and Brimham Rocks, who ran second and third in that race in the Herbert Power, go around the Lexus Stakes tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're able to marry up a little bit of that form line tomorrow in that sort of that last chance saloon race for the Melbourne Cup. If both of those horses come out and run well, and they're high in betting at the moment, you'd think there might be another little tick for Yucatan's form. But I tend to agree a little bit with you, Laurie. I'm not quite sure if they were the B-graders. Obviously, he won impressively, and he was always going to win that race. But, you know, the depth of that form, you know,
I always like looking at who they're running against.
No, that's fair. He could have won by 10.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah.
He could have won by 10.
Yeah,
that's right.
You don't see many win by 10. Protectionist ran, third in it?
Yeah, but Herbert for a $4.50 favourite.
Yeah, no, no, I...
in a big field.
Fair enough. Hey, Timmy Clark, tactics, we're going to be lucky enough to chat with him later on. We're looking forward to that. But a lot of pressure to ride the favourite in the Derby as well.
And I don't think Timmy Clark's ever had a ride in the Victoria Derby before. I was reading somewhere yesterday. So that, I found that quite staggering. I thought Timmy would at least punched one or two around over the years in the Derby, but apparently not. He's sort of saying that he doesn't have to lead at all costs on Thinking Big tomorrow, which I found quite interesting. He's a pretty adaptable horse, Thinking Big, but I would have thought that getting into that free striding role, leading them up and running a strong 2,500 metres would suit him down to the ground. But he's adamant that he can, you know, maybe take a little bit of a sit if he needs to. He'll be prominent, obviously, he'll be in the first two or three, but he's not going to lead at all costs if the speed's on, because we know that Derby start is a really tricky start, TK.
It's a tricky one. They just come past. We're lucky enough for our radio and TV listeners, we're just past the winning post on the outside of the track, and I mentioned it. It's 2,500 metres because otherwise they'd be starting right on the corner. But we can actually hear the jockeys yelling and screaming at each other when they're trying to get positions here on this first corner.
Another big race.
And I know it's 2,500, but the better run you get, the better off you are.
Especially for these horses who are untested at the trip, TK, as much energy as you can conserve as
possible.
Well,
they all are. Yeah.
Well, exactly. That's why they can't go out hard early.
No, they can't. Generally, that's a lot of these derbies are sort of slowly run affairs in the first half of the race.
So you think Thinking Big will be able to control the race?
You would think so.
It'd be hard to run down. I know TK's got plenty on Thinking Big. What about in the Coolmore?
Interesting race, Laurie. Zusain, obviously a sale went through, a part sale of him a couple of weeks ago, last month, so it's amazing this race how much a colt is worth for a bit over a minute's worth of work, TK.
Like 30?
20 at least, probably 30. And for a horse like Zusain,
depending on how they're bred,
Well, that's right. His dad's Zoostar, who won the Coolmore Stud Stakes. He's trying to emulate his father going down the straight, and his value is absolutely ballooning. He'll be worth, write your own ticket, basically, tomorrow if Zusain wins. I was just speaking to you guys off air. I still find it's a pretty tricky race, to be honest, to weigh up. If you held a gun to my head, I'd say Zusain's probably my top pick, but I'm not discounting Sunlight. I know Godolphin have got a pretty big opinion of Encryption, who was safely held by Written By last time at Caulfield. I think Encryption can improve, and he's had experience going down the straight six at Flemington. It's a tricky race. I'd slightly lean towards Zusain, but I'm not overly confident in the Cornwall.
And I just urge everyone to go and have a look at that Manicato. If you didn't see it last Friday night, you should go and have a look, because the number next to Sunlight says seven, but never, ever, ever had an ounce of luck. Got knocked over three times. So I'm just saying, you can have a look. It reads badly, but she'll be in it. She's the only filly in it.
Well, she brings different form lines in the race, doesn't she, TK? She's been taken on, the older horses.
Well, she's written by, once in the slipper.
In the slipper, that's right, and beat him home. So I'm not discounting Sunlight at all.
Yeah. Have you got the best bet tomorrow?
My best, Laurie, will be race 3, number 1, Osborne Bulls. I'm going to make a mockery of myself. I was saying I don't like betting in the straight races. I find it hard to find the winner in straight races, but I think Osborne Bulls is the best of the day. I know he's got to give them weight, but I thought his run in the Everest was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, he went to the outside fence in the Everest.
Exactly.
Maybe he'll go to the
and
outside fence here.
He's drawn wide, and I love those horses being drawn out wide in those straight track races. With Huey Bowman on board, he's my best. My next best is Invincibella, race 6, number 2 in the Empire Rose. She was beaten by Shamook last time at Caulfield, but I think she's crying out for a mile now. Huey Bowman on as well. I think she can settle midfield, peel off their backs and come with a late burst. And this is my left field play for the day. Race 4, number 5, Tally in the Lexus Stakes. This would be quite ironic given that pretty much all these horses in the Lexus Stakes are trying to get into the Melbourne Cup. Now, I think he's one of one or two horses who aren't still in Melbourne Cup contention. He's fourth up this time in. He's got the blinkers on, crucially. He always responds when they put the blinkers on. And he's on a dry track. I thought his three runs this time in have been pretty acceptable. I think he's around $21, I think it is at the moment, 20-1 at this stage. I think it's worth a nice each-way ticket. So race 4, number 5, Tally, my best value on the day.
$21 there, race 4, number 5 from Adam Pengelly. It is exciting times, mate. Thanks for making the effort of coming out.
Thanks, boys.